be seated. I just want to give a just small testimony. After my mom.
See, age before beauty, right?
Age before beauty.
We have one in our church. Her name is Sharon. Do you remember her miracle?
Amen.
I mean, that, we have one lot, really. It's her.
Amen. Amen. This isn't something that happened at our church, but when Marty and I got born again, or not born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, it was a Sunday night, and we had been moving bees, and we had our bee suits on. And we thought, oh, we were kind of coming by the church when it was going on. So we said, hey, let's just sneak in the back, and we'll just sit on the back row, and we'll just, like, blend, and we'll just catch a little bit of the service, and we'll leave. And this was in Naples, when we lived in Naples. So we get in church, and we're in the back, and we're trying to hide and stuff. And the pastor says, which one of you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? And, you know, I'm a good Methodist girl. Don't believe in praying in tongues. That's a little crazy. So Marty goes, we're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. He grabs me, run to the front in our bee suits, and we smell like we've been on fire. It's kind of crazy. And we get gloriously filled. And we just up front for 45 minutes spitting, and it was pretty glorious. And there was like maybe five or six of us. But there's this one young kid that got filled with the Holy Ghost. What was his name, Marty? Timmy? Was it Stanley's son? Remember, we used to see him. Well, every time we saw him after that, he used to work at Publix bagging groceries. And we go in there, and he go, oh, my God. He run over there. He said, hey, Marty Gay, you remember that night we got filled with the Holy Ghost? I was like, yeah. And, I mean, he was like 10 years younger than us. He was like maybe 16 when he got filled, maybe. And we're like, you know, 22 or something. But for 10 years after that, he would run us down somewhere, and we'd see him once or twice a year, and he'd go, you remember that night we got filled with the Holy Ghost? That was glorious. And we would have, I mean, we would want to serve God after that. And we'd only see him maybe once or twice a year, but when he would chase us down and say, you remember that night we got filled with the Holy Ghost? And if we would do that to each other, and not just to each other, but, you know, because you'll see people around town, like, do you ever see that lady Isabella in the hover thing? We'll run into her, and we'll say, you remember that night you got healed, and you started walking? And her face will light up, and she'll go, oh, yeah, you know, and she'll start talking about the Lord. And you can just see something. You know, she may have been discouraged before you talked to her, but all of a sudden she's starting to think about, oh, yeah, the Lord loves me. He proved it that night, and something gets started. And that's what used to happen to us when that guy, Timmy, I think it was his name, would come up to us and say, you remember that night? And rehearsing it. And we should rehearse it. And when you see those people, too, that got healed at our church, and you're wondering, where are they at? Because they got healed at our church. And I remember that. And something really happened. It reminds them. And it reminds us, too. And we do need to rehearse it. Because sometimes I'll see Marty's sister. Because she not only got healed here, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's like, you know, when I see her, there's nothing wrong with Melinda. I remember we went into Homer's office. Barbara Fish, I prayed. She got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. She praying loud. She praying kind of crazy, you know. And I should remind her, hey, Melinda, you remember that? You remember that day you got filled with the Holy Ghost? I was in there with you. I heard you praying in tongues, you know, and not be so ashamed of it, you know, like, hey, just like you would, you know, that night that the Giants won the Super Bowl and they beat the Patriots. That was two nights, if you remember. But, you know, a Giants fan, you walk up to him and say, woo, you remember that day? Well, see, there's nothing wrong with remembering that day they got filled with the Holy Ghost or they got healed. And we need to talk about it just like we do then.
This is like a foundational service for all that God's done, because this is all being recorded. So I want to point out Barbara has been healed of lupus. And her husband was here during that time, and how he was blessed. And he's born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Delia, healed of Guillain-Barre. These are, you know, terminal illnesses. Reuben, he's healed. He's here with us. What about Ralph with his heart? You know, what about Marcia? She's been healed so many times with her heart this past couple of years that we've been praying for her at different times with her heart. And Rex, he's been healed of so many things. And, you know, Rex with all the stuff he went through a few years, the stomach problems. I don't know, I can't. Josh is healed from the spleen thing, gallbladder problems. You know, just for the record, I mean, we want to make sure these things are announced, that they're in there. As God, he deserves all the glory for every single thing. Not one thing is small to him. You know, every bit of it is just so big and so grand, because he's such a great, big, wonderful God, and we need to give him glory for every single thing that he's done. And from here on, like Bronx saying, let's just remember who our God is, because he's going to keep doing. He's going to keep doing it for us. Amen.
Hallelujah. I was sitting there thinking, Candy's got to get up. I got to have her share. Hallelujah. Stand up, Reuben. Just stand up. See, I want you to see, there's one of our trophies. A month or two ago, he could have been worm dirt. Within hours, you should have been dead. And I'll never forget the, you know, the weeks that Delia was in there with that Guillain-Barré, just laid there, and Reuben fought. We were fighting with him. The devil had an image in front of me that I wouldn't speak, but I saw my wife hurting so bad that it looked like I knew in the natural, I knew that the only way was going to be she's going to have her second back operation. That's how bad your back was. And it just looked like she was going to be almost paralyzed. And she was so bad. And God, his name is Jesus. She just kept walking that out. And she got a revelation of how she was speaking along with Reuben to Delia's body. And she describes it as she could do it best. But how do you say that? Ooze? Say it.
I was praying for Delia those years back when she was in the hospital, and first time ever the Lord told me how to pray for her, and it was, the healing is already there. She's already healed in her new nature. Her spirit is whole and healed. Speak to her new nature and ask me to let that ooze into her natural body. And so I began to pray that for her. Lord, let her be healed from within. You know, you're in there. Let her be healed from within. And so that really spoke to me. And so that's how I continued to pray for her for those few days and or weeks. And I was out here, had been walking some, trying to walk, and was receiving healing myself and my body. And I, as I was walking, I began to realize I wasn't in any more pain. But the Lord said to me, pray for yourself like you did Delia. And so I did that. And I'm healed.
You're healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Marty, they're all coming out of the woodwork now.
Yeah, now that you mention it. Gabe had a back problem, and this is before she started doing Friday nights, and she would get out of bed in the morning and crawl on the floor to the bathroom. And this went on for how long? Long time. Yeah, 9 months. That's a long time. And I couldn't do anything to help. I had to go to work and leave. And, you know, while she's crawling to the bathroom, I just, you know, good luck with that. Because I could, I mean, I was helpless, you know. I was helpless. And it was, I just prayed that she had what it took to get up. I know that sounds rude, like, well, why didn't you pick her up? You know, why didn't you, you know, she needed to be healed. She didn't need to be picked up. She didn't need to be coddled. She didn't need somebody to feel sorry for her. You know, so I had to make myself not feel sorry for her so she could get the strength to get healed. I mean, I was praying for her, but she needed to get healed. And she would crawl to the bathroom. She would crawl back she would, after a while, get up like this, holding her knees. And she would take a step, lift her leg, and then this is crazy, but she would get on a treadmill. And you're like, okay, now what? Okay? And so can you imagine going through this, you know, and I'm watching this, and I don't even remember what I was doing during that time. I don't know if I was leaving for work or if some of the work was happening at the house, so I was coming in and out and seeing the stages, you know. Oh, she made it to the bathroom. Okay. She got clothes on. Yeah, because I didn't dress her. I didn't put clothes on her. She did all that, you know. And then the treadmill would start moving, and she would start walking, like, you know. And then it would loosen up, and she could move around. But every morning, it was the same thing. And she would stand on that treadmill, and she would say, back, I command you to line up with the will of my Father. It is my Father's will that you be symptom free and you be pain free. And I command you. That's a lot. So I'm like, wow. See, I've been in prayer lines and gotten prayer lines and got healed instantly, but I've never watched someone take that long to get healed and not give up. I'm like, I'm impressed. I really am. But that wasn't just it. Rehearsing things that God has done. Before that, we had sold our business, and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I had gotten so down that I didn't want to live anymore. But I didn't want to kill myself, but I didn't want to live. I didn't want to do anything. And I remember going to a conference, and they gave an altar call for people that were just wanting to die. And I'm like, I got to get in this prayer line. And pastor was there. And I remember him coming and praying for me like, well, don't die. But I got out of that. And I confessed and believed my way out of that by saying things. I would imagine myself doing what I love to do, and I would start saying it. And over time, I mean, and that took several years. That wasn't fast. That was slow, methodical, walking and saying. And I didn't pay attention to how I felt. I couldn't ignore how I felt, but I didn't confess what I felt. Now, if there was a prayer line and they said, hey, anybody feels like they're dying, I'd be like, but I only got in that prayer line maybe once. Then I got pneumonia, and I had one lung completely full, and the other one was 3/4 full. And I was at home, and I was believing my way out of that, and it wasn't working. And if it wasn't for getting pleurisy, where the membrane dries out and it rubs, I wouldn't have went to the doctor. I would have died in my house. So I had to go in and get a shot, and... But, I mean, I almost died from pneumonia. I mean, it was bad. My doctor cried, my personal physician. He said, this is why I'm a doctor, you know, to fix things like this that normally you would die from. And I thought, wow, okay. I said, I go to church so I don't have to come see you. But then there was more things. I remember there was a lady brought her daughter. This was 10 years ago. And she couldn't hear. I don't know if you remember that. She got healed. I don't know if it was Dave here for that, because he was doing the thing where he was whispering in her ear and she could hear him. And they were sitting here, I thought. It was like a blonde lady, and she had the girl's probably grown now, because that was 10 years ago. But that was exciting, because it's like, wow, she can hear. But on, like, believing for finances, I noticed that lately everyone's been saying they have employment. And there was a long stretch where, I mean, I don't know if, and I heard a lot of people like, hey, you know, do you have any extra money this week? I mean, there's been a lot of talk among friends, you know, do you have extra money this week? Do you have extra money? And that's really special, because in this church, there's, you know, behind the scenes, there's money passing back and forth, like 20s and 50s and, you know, little stuff like that. But then it's like everybody's saying they have employment. And I thought, well, that's really cool. And we were confessing that everybody will get along with each other, right? So I can feel it in the air that where there was a lot of offense, like the, because the enemy brings that. And I noticed it's like it just blew away. Like a wind of the Spirit came and it just blew away. And I noticed everybody's laughing more. There's more people here. And that's exciting. Because that, I mean, that's powerful. I mean, when you're no longer offended, you can't even remember something. It's like he just erases it. But a financial testimony, probably for 10 years, and only because we're way past it, I'm not even going to say this, for 10 years from May until, what, October, November, we don't have any money. And we don't even have money to live. So we would borrow money from credit cards or people we do work for to live, because we would have no income for that whole time. And that went for 10 years. And there have been times where people have come up to us, given me some cash, and it was like, I almost wanted to cry, because it's like, I mean, it put food on the table, but I'd want to give. So May would roll along, and it would be like the last check would come in, and we would, I mean, we probably shouldn't have gave, but it was like, you know what? We're going to give, and then God's going to take care of us. Because there's, I mean, when there's no money coming in for 6 months, you can't save for that when you don't have any money. You know, you just can't do that. So this is the first year where our bills are current. You know, Donnie Davis here in town, he has let me go years, not years owing him money, but years where he would let me get up to 6 months behind. And it would be, 1 year it was $15,000 in gasoline. And he did say something. He was like, because I didn't say a word to him. Because what it is, I just get in a mode like, this is going to be all right. And I just look straight ahead. How you doing? Good. And he's like, you do know. And then I would try to find some money. I would have to go see a farmer. I would have to give them a discount so they'd pay me early. Which, I mean, that's a terrible way to do business. But I had to give that man some money. I mean, this went on for years. He would let us do this. And I've talked to other people, and they said 30 days. He's on the phone with you. And I thought, that's just God right there. Because, I mean, if he wouldn't let us do that, we would never, I mean, it'd been over. I mean, it would have been over. God intervened and moved on his heart on our behalf for no reason at all, just because he's God. You know, and I hate testifying like God just only does money things, because he's doing so much more, but when something like this is a trend and it's like part of your life, you almost think, like Donna Roberson came and she said, you guys need to stop living in the land of barely enough. Remember her saying something like that? And I was like, yeah, but when it's in your face for months at a time, your checkbook, because you reconcile your accounts regularly, you look at your, make sure no one's pulling money out of your account, because I had that happen recently. There was somebody got my card number and was gambling online. And, you know, you, Harry, no, not Harry. I went to use my business check card that took to my business account to buy gas. I couldn't buy any gas because they had already cut it off because I didn't, you know. But, I mean, you know, you got to look at your money. And when you look at your checking account and it's always empty, you see that image and it can take over and overpower your confession to where you're not confessing. You're like, you're seeing this image and you're trying to say, and you almost forget what you're supposed to say. You almost start believing that, well, this must be where I'm supposed to be, you know. And it's hard to come out of that. But we came out of it. And everybody else seems to be coming out of it. So, and there lots of other miracles, too. Immokalee is blessed.
Hallelujah. Candy had an agonizing for her cough that lasted, I don't know how long. It was a gagging cough, and it would keep her up half the night, and it lasted for months and months and months, and she's free. I'm not speaking like she's going to be. I mean, it's been a couple of years, 2 or 3 years or whatever. We just, hallelujah. Amber, she was diagnosed with epilepsy as a, 15-year-old? She's free. Hallelujah. We walked past that. How many remember the year when all the ambulances got me? They come. I had three in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Coming back from Everglades City. Motorcycle wreck. Rex was going down the road, and I was following on that motorcycle. And it felt like we went into an S-curve, and it felt like just something got a hold of the handlebars. And I come off, and I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? What's happening? Come off the road, and if I hadn't had a helmet on, I wouldn't be here today. And my left shoulder got sideways, and I was bouncing, boom, 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 boom. And I was on the grass, thank God, but my head kept hitting. And it messed up. What I realized later was it messed up this left shoulder, so that when I went into that weightlifting contest, that's when I was training for it. That was, so the ambulance came then. They came on 29, and they were like, sir, don't you need to go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm okay. I feel fine. I did. I had, you know, my shoulder was all messed up and everything, and we were going to the mountains a few days later or a week later. We went to Gatlinburg, and I remember Candy having a bandage, you know, it had all those big scabs and stuff. But I didn't realize it, but it had weakened that shoulder, so that when I started training for that second weightlifting contest, I was down at the Indian Reservation training, and I guess I didn't warm up enough, and I had like 365 on there, and I'd done it twice. I was repping it, and I come up the third time, and the whole pectoralis major split. He had one of them too. But I mean, when it split, my left chest just rolled down here. And it was so nasty looking. The guy that was spotting me, he goes, oh my God, Pastor. And there were people, there was a guy and a gal on a treadmill like to my left as far as like almost from the distance. And I didn't know a body part, once it snaps, you could hear it, but you heard that whole tendon. It just popped. And this rolled down, and the 365 just went boom. It just, I was in shock. I was like, I was coming up with it. I had almost 3/4 of the way up. But what had happened is I had weakened all that in there. And so when it came up, when it just fell, and it just, and I was like, I was in shock. But I cannot explain to you the pain. The pain was unbearable. And so he put me in the truck and brought me to my house, and the ambulance came then. But I didn't ride with the ambulance. But I was supposed to have surgery, but I just kept walking it out, and man, I'm pain-free. Hallelujah. I can still lift, and I mean, I'm not lifting that heavy anymore, but praise God, I'm healed. Praise God. As a result of it, though, I remember that when I started back, the pain that was in the shoulder for months and months and months, and I was like, I could not get comfortable in the bed. I would lay on my back, my side, my belly, anything to get that. And you won't believe this about your pastor. I remember one night the pain was so strong. I could not, and I was like, oh my God, I can't take another sleepless night. You know, I got up, I was turning the light on, Candy's, what's the matter? What's the matter? I can't take it anymore. And the weightlifting trophy that's on the top of my dresser, I just shoved it off on the floor. Not you, Pastor. Oh yeah. I was mad. I don't think I did any cussing, but I was mad. I was like, this has got to be over. But I'm healed. Hallelujah. The same year, a few months later, the ambulance came. Now, I took that ride. That was with a gallbladder. And they said my gallbladder was messed up. I had gallstones. I had prayed all night long. And then a bunch of the brethren come to pray for me. And I didn't want them to pray for me. I just wanted to get into the hospital. I wanted some morphine. No, it was that bad. I felt like I was going to die. I had tried to throw up all night, do anything I possibly could. They said I had gallstones. I came home. I prayed. They could have probably taken it out later or whatever. I went through a treatment that Terry D'Amico you know, with the oil and stuff that you, it was a natural. I'm telling you, it was, if you ever want to taste something horrible, try to drink big, large glassfuls of straight olive oil. Straight olive oil with lemon. Oh, that made it really good. I forgot the lemon. It's been 7-8 years ago. My gallbladder's fine. Hallelujah. No problems. I eat anything. But praise God, we could go on all night, but we're not. Hallelujah. But testimony after testimony after testimony. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Most of the time, I mean, if you have a serious, serious thing and you have to get surgery immediately, then get surgery to survive or whatever. But I found out that if you'll just keep going, keep praying, keep confessing, keep going forward, you can walk out of anything, really, you can. Hallelujah. This has been good tonight, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes?
Last year, it was August this time, I got the flu, like, really bad. Like, I was dying. And I took what they told you to take, you know, the DX, the mucus thing, you know, to help, you know, clear it up and stuff. Apparently, I took it longer than you're supposed to take it. You're supposed to only take it 10 days. I took it, like, for a month. It dried up my lungs like raisins. And therefore, I had no moisture in my lungs, so my lungs were rubbing up against my ribs. It felt like I had pleurisy like Dad had. I was like, I'm dying. I could not talk. I couldn't laugh. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. And it went on for like months and months. And I, every day, just had to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I can breathe. Father, in the name of Jesus. And I had started a new job, too. So I was like going to work. And I couldn't keep anything down either. So I was throwing up just all the time. It was really bad. But I walked myself right out of it. And I never went to the emergency room.
Hallelujah. Ambulances. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're glad Mr. Big Old Kevin White is with us. Aren't we glad he made the trip over? Glory to God. Y'all pray for him. He's trying to get established. I really love that young man. I think he's well on his way to doing what God wants him to do. So we just pray he gets established here in Immokalee and the job that God wants him. He's got one now, and he's definitely not lazy. That's good. But he needs to interview for another one in a few weeks. And what's that? Wednesday, he's got the interview. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. And Carl, he's been interviewing lately. So praise God. He's looking at the possibility. Well, we won't say. We'll wait and see if that works out. Hallelujah. All right. Did you have a good time? Amen. This was really good. This probably should go on a website where people can listen to the testimonies. Let's all stand together. Father, we love you. We thank you. You are so good. And every one of us in here, even though we haven't taken the mic, could testify of the times that you've healed us, or family members that you've healed, or miracles that we could just go on and on and on and on. Once we start, it seems like, Lord, our minds are anointed to bring up more and more and more. And this is the supernatural rehearsal of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that we will do this often with each other and with people in the world, that we can teach the miracles of God. Bless now. Thank you for this time. Thank you for anointing it, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.